Congregation, the main text in this morning hour for the sermon is Psalm 84, the verses 1, 2, and 3. First three verses of Psalm 84. Let us read those verses. To the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm for the sons of Korah. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts, my soul longeth, ye even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. So far. With heart and flesh crying out for the living God, revealing himself in his house. Do you hear the four thoughts already? With heart and flesh, crying out for the living God, revealing himself in his house. In the first place, the living God. What is that? And he liked to fill that in with other pieces from this psalm. The living God. Who is he? How does he reveal himself? That's the heart of it. Because the author is longing for the living God. And secondly, revealing himself in his house. My soul longeth even faint for the courts of the Lord. It's about a longing for God in his house. In the second place, in the third place, longing and crying are three words in the text. Longeth, fainteth, crying out for the living God. And in the fourth place, with heart and flesh. So with heart and flesh, crying out for the living God, revealing himself in his house. The living God, revealing himself in his house, long and crying with heart and flesh. Psalm 23 is special, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What a lovely psalm, or the most popular psalm, Psalm 23 is. Or think of Psalm 103. What a joyful psalm that is. There is forgiveness in the Lord as far as the west is from the east, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. What a special Psalm 103. Or 119, how long, how experiential. And someone has said, and 84. Is the sweetest of all of them. And I'm not going to discuss it, to debate that. But I can see it. It's one of the most sweet psalms in the Bible. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of all. My soul longeth, even fainteth, for the sweetness in there. So may it please the Lord to give us a taste of that this morning. The sweetness of the word. To experience that. To have that same fainting. That same crying out. That same longing with heart and flesh and soul together. God revealing himself in his house. That sweetness is a foretaste of heaven. But let us see what this psalm is about first. To the chief musician upon Gittith. Gittith. I don't know. But Gittith sometimes refers to a wine press. Doesn't make any sense. Wine press, maybe something like on the melody of that well-known song of the wine press. Maybe that refers to a melody. And some say, no, Gittith is not the wine press here, but refers to the place Gath in the land of the Philistines. Because there's also a song about Gath. Or it is a musical instrument that's made in Gath. You know those harps they make in Gath? So maybe this song, this psalm is especially made to play on the harp and to sing along. And that the sons of Korah, the choirs in the temple, sing this sweet melody on the melody of Gittith to the chief musician upon Gittith or for the harp. A psalm for the sons of Korah. A psalm. That's a poem on notes. A poem you can sing. And so this Psalm 84 is also a poem, a Hebrew poem you can sing, and it was sung in the worship services by the sons of Korah, and there was a director, the chief musician, and they played and they sang this beautiful song. Who is the author? I also don't know. As some say David, that's well possible because I read in verse 9, behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. So especially kings are called the anointed ones, like David and so anointed. So really well possible that David is the author and refers to himself, thine anointed one. It might be Solomon, but you know the relationship between Psalm 84 and 63 and 42 is so close. The wording is really like David. So I assume it's David. And what are the circumstances? You look over this psalm and you try to find out what's happening. Why is he so longing, so fainting, so desirous? Can't he go to God's house or so? Is he banned? That's what you read in Psalm 42 and 63. A dry and thirsty land where no water is. There is stress. There is suffering. He is banned. He can't go there. He would love to go to God's house. He is forbidden, there is persecution, it's Saul, it is Absalom. Yes, in those psalms, that's right. But I don't read that in Psalm 84. No special circumstances, I would say. Because the Lord does not only work in special circumstances, sometimes just on an average day, just any day. And the Lord does not have a people that desires him and are in trouble, but they desire him when there is no suffering and there is no trouble. With a close walk with the Lord. An everyday psalm. A psalm for every week, for every Sunday. Not only a few Sundays. It should be every day. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. So what is the main point? How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Oh, Lord, do you see that Lord is not with one capital? It's completely capitalized. L-O-R-D, all capitals. That means something in the Bible. That's done on purpose. That means in the original language is the name Jehovah or Yahweh or Jahu, if you don't know how to pronounce it. But it refers to the revelation of God at the burning bush. I am that I am. I don't change. I'm always the same. I exist. I'm real. I'm the Lord, the faithful one, the covenant Jehovah. I keep my word. I don't change. I'm faithful to myself. Oh, how Amy were on thy tabernacles, oh Lord. So the author David, I suppose, is longing for God, for the Lord himself. Oh Lord, it's thy house, thy tabernacles. I cannot miss thee. It's about God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Psalm 42. O Lord of hosts, children, there's a host. In plural, hosts, armies, crowds, plenty. It's a military expression. The armies, the hosts of Israel, so fighting against the enemies. And so the Lord is the Lord of the armies. The best we can think of the angels. The myriad of angels singing glory to God and being also servants of the Lord. The Lord being almighty. In, you can't conquer him. He is the Almighty One, the powerful One. So David is longing for the Almighty God. An Almighty God can protect you. An Almighty God is precious. A God he cannot miss. He feels such an awe and holy reverence and longing in his heart. O Lord of hosts. Four times in this chapter, in this psalm. Four times. Lord of hosts, my soul longeth, fainteth, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Living God, where living refers back to the Lord with capitals. I'm alive, the God of life. I'm alive, the Lord says. And David says, Lord, I long for the real God, for the only God, for the living God. I depend upon him. He is my life. Without him, I die. He created everything. He made everything alive. And he keeps things alive. And he is faithful. And he maintains this world. And he gives life, and he gives healing. He's the source of life, the very source of it. Oh, the living God means the God who is alive and gives life. So let me tell you this morning. The Lord is the living God. He sees us. He knows us. He hears us. He guides us. He still converts people. He speaks to us in this morning hour. He's the living God. And I hope he may come alive in your heart. That he becomes real in the deepest sense. And that you begin to cry out for the living God. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, right? The living God. Combine that to verse 9. Behold, O God, our shield. So he calls God not only the Lord, the Lord of hosts, and living God. He says this God is the shield. What is the shield for? To hide behind so those arrows don't kill you. And so the Lord is a shield for his church, for his people. Oh God, our shield, we hide behind thee. Is God your shield? Or are you exposed to all those arrows and in great danger? Oh, this author is longing for God, and he confesses God. Oh, behold, O God, our shield, look upon the face of thine anointed. And I see it again in verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. Without the sun, it's dark. Without the sun, there's no life, no light, no joy. So sunlight, that's joyful, that gives hope and courage in the morning. The dark night is depressing. But he says, God is my shield and my sun and my Lord and the Lord of hosts. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So it's God who's also generous and giving. He does not withhold things for them that fear him and know him. See? With heart and flesh crying out for the living God, revealing himself in his house. Second thought, revealing himself in his house. How amiable are thy tabernacles? What is that? Tabernacles? I thought there's only one. And now it says, thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Well, you know, when there is a plural in the Hebrew language, that often means this is important. That's an intensive. That's underlining it. The tabernacle, with capital letters, is the tabernacles in Hebrew language. There's only one tabernacle, although some say it refers to different parts of the tabernacle. The court, and the holy place, and the most holy place. Anyway, for David, this was the place, the most special place on earth. God's house, his tabernacle, the temple was not built yet, his house. Why? Because God is omnipresent. What's the difference? Why does it make any difference to bow your knees and to read the Bible somewhere else? Why do we need to be in that house of God? And I'm referring not to a synagogue, and I'm not referring to a church building. I'm talking about the only temple that existed in Israel, in Jerusalem. And the tabernacle before that. That was in a special way God's house. Incomparable, I would say, to church and to synagogue. There was that holy place, and there was an ark, right? What was on the ark? Mercy seat. was on the mercy seat those two cherubims spreading out their wings over the ark. That's it? No. There was something extra that you can't see. On top of the ark, above the cherubim, was the glory of God, His special presence, called the kabod, the glory, the presence, the special presence of God. And David knew that God was really there. There was a part of heaven, so to speak. And when he came to God's house, he had that feeling, now I'm close. I'm really, really close to the living God. He is here. Because the temple is not only an example and the figure of heaven, it is, so to speak, a part of heaven. And he says in verse 3 about the house, yea, the sparrow has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay young, even thine altars. David envies those birds. They can just fly in and out and make a nest next and close to the altars and dwell in the house of God continually. He is a king, he has quite an income, he is powerful, has authority. There may have been peace in the country right now, but he said, I wish I would be like a bird, close to God. That's my life, to seek and to be with the living God. That makes my life precious and meaningful, the closeness to God. Sparrow in the Bible is the example of unworthiness. You can buy a few of them for fartling. So unimpressive bird. Just the most simple one, the sparrow. And so David says, I wish I would be as a nothing, as an unworthy one in the house of God, because I don't need to be more than a sparrow. I don't need to want more than a sparrow. If I only may be in God's house and have communion, fellowship with the Almighty One in God's house. And swallows, they are so restless, right? Those swallows, they just fly and fly the whole day catching insects, and they have no rest. Only when they make a nest and breed, then they have rest. They build a nest, and they for a moment they are quiet, and they sit on the eggs. They are so restless. Is that what David means? I am such a restless swallow, but I need to find a nest for herself as she lays her young. Oh, blessed the man that trusteth in thee. So with heart and flesh crying out for the living God, revealing himself in his house. Yes, the Lord reveals himself also today in his house when the congregation is together and when the word of God is opened, and also at home. So that's indirectly also meant that we must see the Lord in his house today and see the Lord on our knees and with an open Bible. But yet keep in mind, this is about heaven. My soul longeth, fainteth for the courts of God's house, because the temple was made according to the design Moses had seen on the mount. Let us continue. Third thought. Heart and flesh. Actually, three words. My soul longeth, even fainteth. My heart and my flesh, but that's the fourth thought. The third thought is longeth, fainteth, crieth up. Well, I studied the verse a little bit and I'm impressed. Those are deep words, beautiful words. Just listen. My soul longeth. I look for it long and has something to do with being pale. Right? Sometimes you meet a friend or a child, say, why do you look so pale? What's the matter? Are you tired? Have a headache? You don't look good. No, Dad, no, Mom, and they begin to cry. There's a longing. There's something not going well. So the word longing here is a deep longing. It's used for animals of prey. It's used for a lion. A lion that needs to catch a prey. And is so eager, stalking and running and catching, because there's an appetite. He must eat or die. Psalm 17, like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. That's the same word, greedy. Same word as longing. Greedy for the Lord. I must have him. I can't live without him. Or think of Laban. Remember Laban? Jacob worked for him and married his daughters. And then Jacob left. And Laban was very critical about that. And Laban said, and now though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou sore longest after thy father's house. A sore longing, a painful longing. It hurts. My soul longeth. It hurts. I'm greedy for the Lord. You? Let's first look at the next word. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth. I studied the word as well, and fainting has a word in itself that means the end. It's finished. It's over. It's done. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. It's the end. Or Genesis 41, and there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgot in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. It will be the end. It will be finished. So my soul longeth. I'm pale. It hurts. My soul longeth. Yea, even fainteth. I'm finished. It's the end. I die. I die without God. I have no life. I perish. See? So how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts, my soul longeth. yea, even fainteth. For the cords of the Lord, my heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. So longing, fainting, and my heart and my flesh crieth out. To cry out for the living God. Now that's a little different. I always thought that cry out for the living God is a hunger for him, right? To cry out for him that he may come, that I may have him, to cry for him, to cry for food, to long for food, to long for God. And that's a legitimate thought, because God's children do. But I wonder, really wonder, if that's meant here. Because the word for can also mean something else. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. For sometimes refers to a cause. To sing for joy, right? To sing for joy. Joy being the cause why I'm singing. And that's the word here. To cry out in exalting him, in singing. To cry out loudly singing for the living God, exalting him. I think that's what meant here. Because the word to cry out in King James is only translated 2 times with crying out. And most of the times with singing or rejoicing. So it means this, I think. My heart and my flesh sing out loud because of the living God. Again, it's not wrong to say that God's people long for God, but this is also a thought that I think is more important in this verse. It's that loudly singing because of God. God being the joy of his heart in confessing him, not only longing for him, also confessing him. So now let us pause here for a sec. What about you? What are you longing for? What makes you sick? I must have it. I want a boyfriend. I need a girlfriend. I want health. I want work. I want children. I want this. I want that. And we need to have it. You know, that's sin. The most important one is God, the living God. Why don't we long for him? So blind, so hard, so callous. By nature, we long for everything but him. Our hearts don't faint and don't die. We seek life in the world, in entertainment, in sin, but not in God and not in Christ. To sing for joy. To sing, to cry out for the living God, to be in a holy way. Don't take me wrong. Excited. In a holy way, thrilled. And the Lord opens his word and speaks to your heart of his salvation. And then you may experience that closeness and that nearness to God. But the foolishness. And when the Lord turns a sinner around, when the Lord gives a new heart, then what? then everything on earth becomes so futile and so less important. And the Lord comes to the foreground and begins to cry out for God, to long for God. My heart fainteth. And we begin to seek the joy in the Lord. Then things turn around. Things turn around in your life. The way you go to church is different. Because it's sometimes, it's not always as strong, sometimes that how amiable are thy courts, are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts, that longing. Do you recognize that longing? Sometimes in special circumstances, sometimes in the beginning, when a soul is a beggar and so unconverted and so dead in sins and trespasses, seeking life outside of self in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, as I said before, I don't think this psalm is written in special circumstances. This an average day for a child of God. So is that, people of God? Is that this your daily prayer? The Lord wants to be longed for every day. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still praise thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. They go from strength to strength. That should be the life of God's people. A humble walk with the Lord. Needing him all the time. Not being able to miss him. That constant prayer. Pray without ceasing. This is a prayer, right? This is a prayer. Verse 8, O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. So that constant prayer in the heart, Lord, how amiable are thy tabernacles. O Lord of hosts, my soul longeth, fainteth. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. The being a pilgrim here below, and seeking your joy in heavenly things, in God. Now before we go to the last thought, look at those words again. Longeth, fainteth, cry out. What do you see? Look again. I see the Lord Jesus. My soul longeth, fainteth for the Lord in the garden of Gethsemane and on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was dying. He was longing. He was suffering. He was crucified and bore the curse of God against sin. So thirsty, so hungry, so finished, in order to quench the thirst of sinners, in order to give that communion with his Father, in order to give the joy to his people. Oh, that's the Lord Jesus in the text. You need to seek him. So it also especially refers to him. My soul longeth for Jesus. My heart fainteth for him. And my heart and my flesh cry out for him. Because he is the life of my soul. He is my everything. So it's better, 1,000 times better, to be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. 1,000 times better than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. The word thousand in the Bible is, as you would say, millions, right? Millions of times. Thousand years are for the Lord as yesterday. So this author, David, I believe, says, one day in God's house, longing and seeing and praising is better than a thousand anywhere else, than millions of times the joy of this life. You know, sometimes this life gives joy, right? Beautiful scenery, a vacation, meeting friends, children. There are special things. God's sparing hand over us, being spared, celebrating an anniversary, all those things. Special. There's something thousand times better, millions of times better, to dwell in the house of God. David speaks about that. And the Apostle Paul said, I wish to be with Christ. That's the best. And as you remember, John Bunyan says, to walk and talk with Jesus in the heavens. That's the best. Seek the kingdom of God first, and its righteousness, and all other things will be added. With heart and flesh crying out for the living God, revealing himself in his house. So still a few words left. Soul, heart, flesh. What did David mean? Then he said, my soul longeth. Does she mean I have a body? And in my body is a cage, and in my body is the bird. That's not just my soul. I have a soul. I have a soul, and with that soul, I long for God. No. But soul off means something else. Because we do not only have a soul, we are one. We are a soul. Remember Abraham, Adam was made of the dust of the earth? And the Lord blew in him the spirit of life. And he became a living soul. That's him. As soon as the Lord gave him the spirit of life, the breath in his nostrils, as soon as that happened, he became a soul, an identity, a person. He became a person. From the very beginning, like when there is a conception in the womb, from the very first moment, there is a person. Not only human life, not only a human embryo, is a person, an identity. Someone's life begins, and that soul will never die. So my soul longeth means I do. I long with everything I have and am, every thread of my life. My soul, it's me. I completely, entirely, with my whole identity, with my whole existence, I long for God. I do. See how deep that goes? That soul is even used for the Lord. My soul abhors him. Does not have a soul? The Lord is a person, actually three persons. An identity, someone. The word means life. My soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint about myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. See that? My soul weary of my life. I am sick of my life. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I am so bitter, Job said. So you are a person. And you had a beginning. And you have no end. So I recommend that you seek the Lord, because you are a soul. You have one, and you are one. You will always be you. You don't change into someone else. Your soul does not end. So you need a change, and you need a new heart. And this is your only lifetime on earth, preparatory time for eternity, to hopefully enter into the courts of God's house. It will be better than 1,000. Now, it's remarkable in the Bible, you don't read about a new soul, right? You don't need a new soul. You need a new heart, new spirit, new understanding, no new soul. Because your soul is just you. And you will always be you. And even if you receive a new heart, you are still you. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord, my heart and my flesh. My heart and my flesh, my heart. From the heart are the issues of life. My heart is my will. My heart is my motivation. My heart is my drive. My heart needs to change. I need a new heart. That stony heart needs to be taken out. And to the heart of flesh. And apparently this author, David, he had that heart, that new heart. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. But it's remarkable that he says, my heart and my flesh. What? I long for God with my soul and with my body. Something like that? Yes. Because you can't separate. You can't separate your body from your soul. Or your body from your identity. Your body from your heart. Everything goes together. In modern thinking, people separate the body of the identity. I have a female body and a male identity, something like that. That's so unbiblical. Heart and flesh belong to each other. It's a harmony. The Lord has made heart and flesh, and when the Lord gives a new heart, even your body responds to that. You cry, you're emotional, you shake, you long, you get pale, you get warm. Right? When you are emotionally affected, your body gets drained, or your body is invigorated. So my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Sometimes the word flesh has a negative meaning in the Bible. I'm fleshy. I'm carnal, sold under sin, but not here. And let us not undervalue the flesh. My heart and my flesh. We have a soul that never dies. But think of the flesh. Think of the body made by God. And the Lord will resurrect the body. Because the separation between body and soul is only temporary. They belong to each other, they were together, and they will be together again. Even for them dying without God, their body and soul will be united again. And with heart and flesh, they will suffer eternal hellfire. In body and soul. And God's children also receive that body back and will serve the Lord with heart and flesh. With heart and flesh praising God on the new earth under a new heaven to glorify God to the highest. You know, I look at the text, Psalm 32, verse 3. David speaking. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. See that? He did not confess his sins and he suffered physically. And so when the Lord works in the heart, even the body benefits of that. Seek the Lord. So that's why Christ took upon himself flesh. Christ was a soul, had a soul, was a soul. And his soul was not divine. His soul was human, and his heart and flesh are human, because he wants to save humans, and he will have humans before him, not in heaven, it's only soul, but after the resurrection. God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give glory, grace, and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walketh uprightly. See, we need a new heart to seek the Lord, to long for the Lord, to confess our sins, to break into pieces, to faint, to dwell in the house of the Lord. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. It ends with trusteth in thee, believeth in thee. That is so crucial to not only be seriously minded and to seek, but to have that true saving faith, to trust in the Lord. To completely rely on the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is that people. So, four thoughts so far. How is it in your life? Do you know that longing, that seeking, that life is only in Christ? With heart and flesh, crying out for the living God, revealing himself in his house. Seek that God whose fellowship is better than 1,000 elsewhere. The joys of this world don't fill the heart. They yet leave it empty. but seek that life in another. Amen. Oh Lord, may it please thee to work that longing, that fainting, that crying out in the hearts of sinners. We have only one life. And Lord, we can be so cold and uninterested, but our God who can make life just like that also today. Oh, we ask to quicken sinners from the dead and to make them long for thee. But also, Lord, quench the thirst in that communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. Be mindful of us the rest of this day. Bring safely to our destination and back to thy house tonight. In Jesus' name alone, amen.